So our scripture this morning was about fasting. So first I have for you a story about fasting. I lived in Poland for 2 years in the early 2000s. And when I lived there, I often ate at McDonald's. It was cheap and familiar, though some of the food was different. For example, pork burgers were a thing. Poland is one of the most Catholic countries in the world. And Roman Catholics have a strong teaching and history with regards to fast and feast days. So I was at McDonald's one Friday and I noticed that I was the only person in the whole restaurant eating a hamburger. It was literally a sea of Filet-O-Fish. I had never seen so many people eating Filet-O-Fish. I actually don't know if I've ever seen anyone eat a Filet-O-Fish. And the entire restaurant was eating Filet-O-Fishes. And then I thought, oh, right, it's Friday. And Friday is a fast day. So we don't eat meat, just fish. So even in my public high school, the cafeteria always served fish and chips on Fridays. But why? What's the point? What is the significance and importance of fasting? What does the scripture tell us today? Our readers' theater this morning recounted the stories from Acts about Paul and Barnabas. Before Saul, Paul, and Barnabas set off to minister to the fledgling churches, they fasted and prayed. The scripture tells us, as they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul to the work I have called them to undertake." We see fasting here as part of a normal spiritual practice. It's lumped together with praying. Luke, the writer of Acts, doesn't elaborate. Fasting is just presented in concert with praying and worshiping as normal activities of the church. But it is interesting to note that the Holy Spirit shows up right after the fasting, which I think encourages us to think about the significance of fasting. I don't think that fasting has been a regular part of Mennonite tradition, but yet we do spend an enormous amount of time and spiritual energy on prayer and worship. So why not fasting? What can fasting offer our spiritual life that is different to our experience with prayer or worship? Later in Acts, Paul and Barnabas appoint elders for each church. The scripture tells us that with prayer and fasting, they committed these elders to the Lord, in whom they had placed their trust. Again, fasting is presented as a normal companion to prayer. But again, I want us to notice the other words in the text. Earlier, we saw how fasting was immediately followed by a visit from the Holy Spirit. And here, fasting is immediately followed by commitment. And I want to suggest that therein lies the significance of fasting, listening for the Holy Spirit, and then committing to following what the Holy Spirit says. Fasting makes room for the Holy Spirit, and it shows commitment in a different way than prayer does. Our theme today is making room for God, using fasting as a way to seek God, to listen for how the Holy Spirit may be guiding us, and then committing to act on that guidance. So fasting is a means to an end and not an end in and of itself. We should not fast for the sake of fasting, but for what the fasting will teach us, how it will bring us closer to God. I wonder if that's one of the reasons that fasting has not taken off in the Mennonite tradition, as the ancestors of our faith turned away from the showier aspects of the Christian faith that had taken over. Fasting went the way of icons, stained glass, and instruments in worship. Maybe we can rediscover the joy and meaning in fasting as we have rediscovered the joy of instruments in worship. Sister Joan Chittister, she's a Catholic nun and a thoughtful documenter of the faith. She writes, "When a practice strays far from its original intentions, it often must disappear so that it can be rediscovered for the right reasons. She goes on to say that for her generation, fasting was more of a burden than a blessing. It was more an attempt to punish the body than an invitation to strengthen the soul. So if fasting helps us seek God, strengthens our soul, makes room for guidance from the Holy Spirit, and can be used along with prayer and worship as an important spiritual practice, then maybe we should give it a try. But how? When? Jesus, of course, has something to say on the matter. He discusses in his Sermon on the Mount fasting, which Georgia acted out for us this morning. And this is what Jesus says. And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so people will know they are fasting. I assure you that they have their reward. When you fast, brush your hair, wash your face. Then you won't look like you're fasting to other people, but only to your Father, who is present in that secret place. Your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. This is from the Common English Bible, and I just love this translation so much. Fasting should not make you miserable, and it should not make you miserable to be around. Don't mope around displaying your penance and how pious you are. That's not the point. Brush your hair, wash your face, get yourself together. Again, the fasting is not the point. It's what the fasting can bring. If you are pushing people away and making a scene with how religious you are, your fasting will be pointless. Fasting is between you and God. Fasting is a way for you personally to seek God in secret. So if you are getting the filet fish because everyone else is, you have missed the point. If the filet fish is not bringing you closer to God and making room for the Holy Spirit, you have missed the point. Jesus is reminding his followers that fasting is to be a blessing, not a burden. Fasting should bring you closer to God and not alienate you from your neighbors. I wonder if fasting cannot only bring us closer to God, but also bring us closer to our neighbors. How does fasting make room for neighbors? I return us to our McDonald's scene. I feel like there might be something comforting and familiar and the feeling of solidarity as you look out and you see all the other people eating the Filet-O-Fish. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Doris Jansen Longacre's important little book, The More with Less Cookbook. Are most of you familiar with that? There have been many iterations of this kind of book in the Mennonite world. After the cookbook, there came a Christian living book called Living More with Less. And then there was a 40th anniversary of More with Less. And there's another, a newer one that I really like called Simply in Season. And many of these books include stories about eating less or fasting as a means of creation care, but also as a way to live in solidarity with those around the world less fortunate to ourselves. I remember reading several stories in the Living More with Less book about individuals and families who fasted from supper one night a week or attempted to dine on the meager rations given through food aid or only had tea for lunch. I remember thinking at the time that it kind of seemed silly and performative. Like, what were those actions by middle-class North Americans really going to achieve? But in light of this idea of making room, I wonder if these actions make room in our imaginations for really contemplating what life is like for other people around the world. I am making room for understanding and appreciating someone else's experience. We are making room for the Holy Spirit to change our hearts and minds. We are making room to hear how God may be speaking to us. Since Mennonite identity tends towards the communal and we live our faith communally together, maybe together we can recast the More with Less movement as a kind of fasting. Part of the point of More with Less was to live in solidarity with others and to start to understand their suffering. I think that is the key to understanding fasting, especially as Jesus describes it. It is not performative. Don't walk around with a sad face, moaning and wallowing in your pious despair. Fasting should prepare us, like Paul, Barnabas, and the elders of the early church. Prepare us to listen for the Holy Spirit. Prepare us to serve the church. Deepen our prayer life. But above all, to make room for listening for God. Fasting should not alienate us from our neighbors or push them away from us. Fasting should help us understand the suffering of our neighbors. Sister Joan says, when we fast, we become voluntarily poor and so understand the needs of the poor. She also says that fasting confronts our consumer mentality with a reminder of what it means to be dependent on God. We can easily forget in our fairly wealthy and comfortable life here in Waterloo region that we are indeed all of us dependent on God. If I don't have something I need or want, I go to the store and buy it, or maybe I make it from something I have bought. I know some of us pride ourselves on our skills in the garden or kitchen or quilt room or wood shop. We like to think of ourselves as self-sufficient, but truly we are not. We are all of us dependent on God. And fasting can remind us of that fact. Fasting, prayer, worship, almsgiving, Bible reading, all these spiritual practices should bring us closer to God. These practices should make room for God and make room for others in all of creation's relationship with our Creator. Fasting should not be overly burdensome, and it should not be detrimental to our health. It should strengthen us in our relationship with God and with each other. Fasting should prepare us for hearing the Holy Spirit, hearing the word of God. But also fasting should help us listen to and hear our neighbors. So let's brush our hair, wash our faces, and get on with the business of making room. Amen.